Coming up, a Sad Styles production.
Hello and welcome. My name is Mikey Aaronworth, signing on to the Sign Off of Frameworth podcast for yet another week. It is the forum for all the stories you didn't know you wished you knew about the world of sports and sports marketing. And this week, there are tons of stories that you didn't know you wished you knew. And it all centers around a man named Rocket, who has been in the realm of athlete security and concierge services for decades. Now, this is another classic re-release. It's an episode that came out very early in the run of the Sign Off, something that came out long before we gained the following that we have today. So we figure a lot of people may have missed this one, especially because it's episode number 3, aired in April of 2021, well over a year ago. We sit down with Rocket and he shares some of the best stories you're ever going to want to hear. Now, what's involved in athlete security and concierge services? Well, if you're asking that question, then you're in the right place. Rocket has done everything from joining athletes on a night out at a club to make sure nothing goes wrong, to stepping in when fan interactions go a little bit overboard. This episode was an absolute blast to record, and you can tell because we actually had Rocket on in a somewhat of a part two to his series of interviews a few weeks later. So if you're interested in this one, if you like what you hear, make sure to go back into our catalog and listen to episode 2 featuring Rocket as well. And who knows, maybe once we're back at it, we'll get him back on the podcast for yet another interview. Let us know. But I'm going to step away now and let the interview do the talking. If there are any people from these classic revisits or any stories that you hear that you want us to redo once we're back up and running with some newer episodes, let us know. Sign off pod at framework.com or you can hit us up on our socials. But without further ado, here is the one, the only Rocket.
He likes hearing your own voice in it.
Oh, mine sounds really weird.
Well,
mine sounds great. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
World. Nobody ever likes their first name, and nobody ever likes their voice when they
hear it. You kidding me? Mikey's a great first name, and I have the voice of a god.
I named you Michael, and you changed it to Mikey.
Okay, that's because I've always been combative in that sense. Whenever
you know what, and even like Troy Crosby, you'll go, why does he call himself Mikey? Why does he want to call himself a kid's name?
Yeah, I get that all the time. It's on my business card. Like
people want to call you Michael, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and welcome back. We're here once again. It's episode 4. Episode 3, actually. We missed that. You know what? We're getting ahead of ourselves. There's just been so much content packed into the first two episodes that we thought maybe we could have made a full other one out of it. I'm here with a very special guest. This is an episode that when I knew I had an opportunity to take part in it, I couldn't wait because I know that some of the stories we're about to hear, we've been teasing it for a little bit, are going to be fantastic. We're here with Rocket and obviously Brian Aaronworth, president of Frameworth, and myself, Mikey Aaronworth, podcast extraordinaire. Rocket, why don't you take a little bit of a moment. I'm not sure that all of our listeners are going to be aware of who you are, but you are the best kind of person to have in an interview scenario because you are the name that all the players know, but the fans might not. And do you want to tell us a little bit about why that is?
Yeah, well, it all started back when I first got into the security business, and they'd known me as Rocket anyways, but I'm like all the players' best friend and all their fans and all that, best friend too.
Sure.
So that's how it kind of got started. And yeah, they think I got all the stories and all the contacts and everything like that. So
it seems like that's the case. And just to go into that a little bit, you mentioned security, right? And that is your primary operation when it comes to dealing with professional athletes.
Yeah, that's how I got started. In fact, I got started in the rock and roll business in security.
Really?
Yeah. And then
speaking of insecurity, I have plenty of those.
I got started in the rock and roll business, and then I had... And I would do a lot of concerts in Toronto.
Sure, sure.
And so a lot of Leaf players would want to come down to concerts, you know, at the, this started at the old Exhibition Stadium.
Wow.
And so I had a couple of players that, you know, wanted to get up to the front row or, you know, sneak inside or whatever. We used to get them in and take care of them, you know. So then as that gradually grew, they're getting busier and busier and they were getting more famous, you know, and then I figured it out that, hey, these guys may need a little security outside this place.
Right.
You know, so I hit them up and I said, hey, listen, if you're ever looking for somebody to do some security for you, you know, and they were like, yeah, you know, we got to go to the nightclubs. We're at the nightclubs all the time.
Definitely.
And there's always guys bothering us. You know, we need somebody to just let us bring girls up.
Sure.
So that's how it got going.
That's how you get going.
That was what year? Like the CNE Exhibition Stadium was back in the 70s, wasn't it? Or early 80s?
Yeah. Well, I'm only 25 now. So I'm trying
to figure out because I remember seeing Diana Ross back then, back.
All of our guests love when you try to pin their age down. That's a good interview tactic.
Yeah. No, where I was trying to get to is like when did you get started in the business? So I'm trying to get a feel for the players that you would have started with, or the concert people. I'd love to hear that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It was like Michael Jackson, two of the Jackson Five were there.
Michael,
yeah, you wouldn't know.
I don't think I know who that is. Yeah.
And those are like the Beach Boys and Evel Knievel, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was really young when that first stuff came out. And then I ran into a buddy of mine that had a security company, you know, and I wasn't doing much. And so he'd asked me if I wanted to, you know, work it.
So at this point you were working for a security company and you were kind of just boots on the ground sort of thing.
Like stand in front of the stage, and then I would recognize a hockey player, let's say, and I would bring them up closer to the stage. I mean, that's what you do. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. And I kind of had the knack for that because I wasn't intimidated by celebrities.
Right.
I never have been, I never will, you know? So it wasn't like a bow down thing, and I just, you know, worried about them being in the front row than the guys on the stage.
For sure.
You know? And so it all worked hand in hand. And then the guys started to get more comfortable. I got on a first name basis with them all. And yeah, I'm talking about the guys in the early 80s with the Leafs, in the middle 80s.
So back then, were you talking about Daryl Sittlers? And
well, no, I looked after Lanny McDonald. He's probably the very first one. And it was a concert at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Okay.
Oh, wow. He came to, yeah. And then remember the guy by the name of Dave Hutchison?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hutchie Fighter. Really, he came from L.A., but he was a real fan of the Eagles. And he knew the guys.
All the hockey players had similar facial hair to the members of the Eagles. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. So
I think if you're from Southern California, smoked a lot of weed, you had to hang out with the Eagles, I guess.
Amazing.
You
know?
So that's the way it was with them. And then, funny story, they hardly even talk to one another now.
Yeah.
But that's maybe for another show. Yeah. I don't know. But
You mentioned that, you know, Hutchison, a fighter.
Yeah.
Himself, yeah. An enforcer that we would call them. It's interesting. I don't think a lot of people realize this, that even when the enforcers are going out on the town or just, you know, having a night or getting from place to place, they also need security.
Maybe more so.
In your experience, are those the types of athletes get picked on more than anyone else?
That happens. You know what? That happens all the time. Because I'll tell you why. If I bring a fighter into a nightclub, let's say, okay, and he's a famous fighter type thing, some girls always get attracted to the tough guy.
Sure.
You know?
Don't I know it?
There you go. So the girl will say to her boyfriend, oh, man, look who it is. Oh, yeah, he's such a fighter. He's such a good guy. And the boyfriend will automatically go, oh, he's not that tough. He's not that tough. You know, he's not having on ice and stuff like that. So I have countless times where I've had to sit there and listen to those type of conversations, you know, and then kind of like peel back it right away. Just say to the guy, tap on the shoulder, said, buddy, don't even try it.
You're kind of from your perspective, then you're almost like bird's eye view. You're keeping an eye on this before it even starts.
Yeah.
So you see the girlfriend make eyes at the enforcer or
I can even hear their conversation sometimes. Yeah. You know, I'll get close enough because I can see. I've been doing this for so long that I know when I can smell a little bit of problems, you know?
Yep.
So you can see the girl, and then the guy will kind of like it. And then here's the biggest thing, how you know. When a celebrity, and I don't matter who it is, a hockey player or a rock star or whatever, when they walk into a nightclub or a restaurant, people stare at them.
Oh, I would imagine.
People just stare, you know? So that's my job, is to look for who's staring. That's the number one thing.
Is it typically those people that are going to cause the problems?
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much cause the problem, but some of them are just like, you know, it's just, I can tell you numerous stories that it just starts creeping guys out.
So I want to get into that a little bit because security, similar to the concept of sports marketing, like what we'd like to do on this podcast is explore, you know, the world behind the scenes of sports. And sports marketing being such a broad scope actually involves a lot of intricacies, just as security does as well. So when you talk about security, you're not constantly breaking up fights necessarily, but you're trying to provide, and this may branch into your concierge company as well, you're trying to provide a real life enjoyable experience for your clients too. It's not just about breaking up bar fights.
No.
It is about making sure they're comfortable.
This is how it's all changed, and a lot has to do with the camera phones too. But you know, way back when I first started, if you could see somebody that was going to give one of your players a bit of a hassle, you could grab them by the arm and something like that, or push them out of the way, things like that. Now, they can't. You know, if I'm out with Taylor Hall or somebody at a club and you know, some guy's coming at him type thing, and I push the guy out of the way or I punch the guy, they're not suing me.
Right.
They're going to sue Taylor Hall.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I've had instances like that before. So now how it's all changed is I'll get Taylor Hall and I'll say, Halsey, we got to go. We're out of here. And once they know that, when I tell them that, they know there's been a problem here.
Wow.
So we just, you know, just escalate and stop it right there. And then we just leave the club.
Do you find that the players have a more difficult time now enjoying a night out with things like camera phones 100%. And your inability to protect them in a way that you may have been able to?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the world's all changing, right?
Right.
Everything's on video and, you know, we see it in the States all the time and all the controversies that's starting that, you know, and I'm constantly, you know, a lot of the people that are trying to film some really don't know the rules. I can't take their camera.
Right.
But I have.
Right. You know? And you're hoping that they don't
call you on it. And I can't automatically like fumble with their camera, drop it on the floor and step on it.
Right.
I can't, you know, help that.
Of course.
You know,
you got shaky hands. I mean, that's just something that might happen. You know,
I kind of hate when that happens.
Here's
a funny story. I was out with a bunch of players one night in Toronto and,
give us a year. What are we looking at?
It was just this past year.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago. And, we're at this club and, I get them all in, but the place they put us was like on this pedestal almost, and the whole bar could see everybody.
Right.
You know? So I'm standing there and they're yelling at me, rocket camera over there, rocket camera over there. You know? So I only got like two eyes, I think, you know, and one set of ears. And I'm okay. So I saw this guy keep walking by and he had his camera, but he was like folding his arms, but he was like trying to.
People think that's subtle. They think that's subtle.
So anyways, I saw him come by one more time. I said, I'm just going to grab his camera, you know? So I leaned over and I went to grab his camera and I missed, but I got my fingers caught in his nostrils. And I just kept yanking back, you know, and I had my fingers right up here. So he finally dropped his phone, but I pulled back and this, and
oh, wow.
You know, the players are going, Rocket, that's one of the coolest things I ever seen, you know?
The guy by the nose.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting in a restaurant having dinner with the Crosbys, and Sid was there, and I had my back to it, but right across, this is a nice restaurant, Soto downtown, but this was before one of the games, and or the night before, and he's looking across. I didn't know. I've never really seen Sidney get upset, but he was really kind of, he's looking and he's staring, he's not following the conversation at the table. And
right,
it was a lady across just taking photo after photo in a beautiful restaurant, right? And he literally got up and said, do you want me to take a photo with you? Because like, that's kind of rude.
Yeah.
We're trying to have a dinner here. I've never seen Sidney do that. He just ignores everything.
Yeah.
But it was really, it really got to him that he couldn't enjoy dinner with his family and friends because this lady just kept taking photo after photo.
Yeah, see, dinner is a real good thing because I've had a lot of players out for dinner with their girlfriends. You know, they've been on a road trip or something for a week or something.
Right.
So they just want to go out with their girlfriend, have a dinner out, you know. So most of the time I'll go. And I don't sit right at the table with them. I just stand way back.
Sure.
So I don't want anybody to feel intimidated of the fact that, hey, there's a celebrity in the restaurant and this guy's making me feel comfortable.
Also probably gives you an ability to see the whole room.
I see the whole room. Because I've been doing this for so long. I can tell when someone's going to a washroom or they just want to walk by the celebrity because the washroom's over to the left.
Right.
And they'll make a big circle around to go out in front.
Oh, so you notice when people do things like that.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Good to know. Good to know.
So,
to know.
And that's, and then Brian, you're right to furthermore your story. You know, I when people start taking a picture, I mean, you can't stop them. I mean, if they're in a room and they see us, okay, you can do your best to stop them. But the ones that get me is the person that takes 15, 16, 17, 18 pictures. Like, how many do you want?
Right.
Yeah.
How many do you want? I mean, and then have your dinner. What are you doing there? Aren't you driving your husband nuts?
For sure.
Aren't you driving your girlfriend nuts?
I mean, I guess from the other side, the people that their kids are big fans, they love to get a picture, but one after another. Here's a great story, not to jump on your thing, but the players are generally very happy to take a photo at the right time and place. This is one of the best stories I had with Wayne Gretzky. So I'm waiting at his restaurant. We're sitting at the bar. I'm waiting for Wayne to come down. There's two guys sitting next to me. I sit with an empty seat between us. It's the middle of the afternoon, so nobody really was in the bar. There's two guys, an empty seat. I sit there. Wayne comes down from the office at his restaurant, Gretzky's. And I thought for sure he's going to sit on my left side, leaving the gap. He sat in between me and the other two guys. Huh. So we're talking for about 20 minutes. And he looks down at the counter, and the guy had a camera there. And I could see, because I was looking his way and see the two guys. And they're just, they couldn't believe Wayne Gretzky sitting right
sure,
next yeah. to them.
Sure, sure.
But they were very polite. They had a camera. They weren't bothering us, the whole thing. About 10 minutes later, Wayne gets up to go. He looks over at the two guys and he says, "Is that your camera there?" And the guy says, "Yes, it is." And he says, "Would you mind if I had my picture taken with you guys?"
Ah, nice.
What a
nice.
Class act
that's
that
a good
was.
Move.
And you know what? The guys were just beside themselves. They didn't have to ask. He knew they wanted a photo. They were polite about waiting. And so he wanted to make them understand that he respected that and they respected him, and it was
a
great
yeah
story.
A lot of, you know, Brian, a lot of my guys are like that. Yep. You know, they especially obviously with kids.
Yeah,
you know, but I'll always go up to people and I'll say, "Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do." You know, I had an incident with Mitch Marner not too long ago, you know, well, probably like when we could all go out and
right.
like that,
sure.
you know, but there was these kids that were in the back of a restaurant type thing, you know. And their mother kept taking pictures and all that. So I went up to them and I said, "Hey, listen, just wait. You know, I'll take you over there when it's time." And I, you know, Mitch would love to talk to you because he loves kids. It's just the way that he is. "And I will make sure that you meet him and get a picture with him. But don't take any more pictures now because
right,
you're
right.
kind of like freaking everybody yep. out here, you know?" So I do it with a lot of people yep. too. But the other one thing I'll do is I'll ask the player, you know, not so much even if they're out for dinner, but I mean, Nate McKinnon and I were out this summer and he was skating at a rink and he wanted to be the skating to be not anybody know what he was doing and stuff like that. And you got to respect that.
Right.
So there was a bunch of kids thereafter. So I would go in the room when he's finished his workout and say, "Okay, Nate, we got like 17 people out front here. Do you want to come and sign?" And he would go, "Rocket, you know, I'd love to, but I have dinner with my girlfriend, like mm-hmm. at 6:30, we got to go."
Right.
You know, so that way we know how to get through
sure.
the back door.
And, right.
But I have to ask him, I have to ask the athlete first.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them getting a reputation. Oh, he doesn't like signing.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
he doesn't like yep. talking and yep. stuff like that, you know? So I always say to my guys, I'll be the bad guy. You know, I'll tell somebody to get lost. I don't want you doing that, you know, because next thing you know, it's all over Twitter and it's all
for
over
sure.
Instagram and whatever. Right.
I mean, right? that makes so much sense. In this industry, in our industry, we do this quite often as well. Anytime
yeah.
there's a signing, we always say more or less the same thing to the player. What I think a lot of fans may not notice is every moment of every day for these players is dealing with some sort of negotiation between themselves and a fan. You know, do I sign this? Do I not? Do I take a picture? Sometimes I'm having a bad day. So they don't always see what came before a potential know when they ask to get something signed or take a picture with them. It's sort of the job of the people around them, yourself included, to be that buffer for them so that they're not the ones being blamed yeah. for yeah. saying no to something.
Well, the problem comes to be, what is enough?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, you know, you have a player that's got up in the morning and he's had to go get gas. So he's been bothered at the gas station. He goes in to pay. Somebody recognizes him there and you know, and he gets asked for an autograph in there. He's got to go to practice. He's on his way to practice. And, you know, and then, so finally goes back into his car and there's always somebody else, you know, the word gets around quicker. I mean, we yep. used to laugh. I mean, way back when the days of Matt Sundin and Ty and all those guys, there was no cell phone. So you
sure.
would go somewhere
sure,
and nobody would know you're there, you know? And then Monday morning kids would go to school and go, "Hey, you should have came to, the club the other night, you know, it was there." And, oh man.
Right.
So now the problem is,
if, they know
you
immediately.
Know, yeah. If Mitch goes out for dinner, you know, a million people may know in the next 20 minutes
yeah.
of where he is.
Well,
and then you always see people creeping in. Eh?
Well, you know what that,
yeah.
that there's another story of another player that I was, well, it actually wasn't another, it was Sid again,
okay.
but we were
sure.
at having dinner downtown, same restaurant.
Okay.
Like, oh, I don't want to, I shouldn't have mentioned the name, but anyway,
so put you on the payroll for yeah, security?
No, but
I'll talk
but
to him
here,
about that.
This was an because this was one of the first experiences I had going to dinner with him, and his agent Pat Brisson and his dad, myself, were having dinner, and within 20 minutes, Paul Anka was sitting behind us. I think it was,
and you so were taking the, pictures of him no, all night.
Yeah,
no,
so Sydney didn't even know who he was.
Oh, okay,
just before his time. But anyway, so out in the front, you know, all of a sudden, within 20 minutes, there was a CBC truck out front.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Waiting to do an interview yep. and a bunch of kids we didn't tell anybody we were going there. We just ended up showing up. So out through the kitchen we go and out the back. He just didn't want to talk to anybody. There was this time that he didn't want to speak to anybody about anything. So
I had to take a rock star out of a hotel one time in a laundry bin.
Wow. Yeah. That's something that's out of a movie.
Yeah. the
was it a dirty laundry bin?
I don't even know, but
you remember who you don't want to say who the rock star was?
No. Okay. I can't.
fair.
If somebody said the Chili Peppers, then they would guess it.
But, okay.
So we had to get him out of the
is that where he got his sock from? Is that where it was from, that laundry bin?
That band's crazy.
Yeah.
Great bunch of guys, but like out of control. But anyway, so we're trying to get this guy out there, and the fans were just like all over the place. So I got the maid, and I said, where's the laundry bin, you know, that you carry? Oh, it was down this way. So I go get the laundry bin, and I grab some towels off the rack. So I said, get in. Fuck, get in. We're going to get you out of here. Well, all of a sudden, we put him in. I tell the girl that I just talked to, the maid, push this. We push it. We go to a service elevator. We go in the service elevator, down the stairs, onto the loading dock, onto the ramp. We get them in the car.
Oh, my God.
Ingenuity. That's part of the security business.
Part of it, yeah. You know? Always be one step ahead.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've gone through, like, I've gone through countless, you know, hotel kitchens, you know. You always get some guy yelling, what the hell are you doing in here?
and then sees who's coming by.
Or I get some guys, he'll pick up some food when they're going by.
You know? Hey, it's funny because you hear these stories. I hear these stories. I mean, you live them. But it's when you describe things like that, going through the kitchen, having a chef yell, picking up food from a plate, that's something I see in a movie and think, that's a little much. Yeah. There's no way that happens in real life. But it turns out there is a world where this does happen.
You know, further to more what you're saying about Sid, it's funny. There are some guys that you know, that are tired of being bothered, you know. There's other ones that take it. And I'll give you a perfect example, Paul Coffey. So I'm out for dinner with Coff one night, you know, and he gets recognized now and then, but not as much as like anybody else.
Sure.
You know, more than that. So anyways, this guy starts bothering Coff, you know. So he's signing, Coffey's signing and signing. The guy got about 12 pictures for him. And I said, and he starts walking away. He looks back at me and he goes, I still got it. And like, I was going to say something to the guy, like, hurry up. But Goff was like, the ego was great because, you know, this guy recognized him and wanted to do science.
Sure. You know what? You know? One of the greats of all time. What, do you have six cups? But and such a nice guy, Paul. But it's nice after you're out of the limelight. You get bothered when you're in the limelight. But after you're out of the limelight, where the kids, you know, he was such a great player, they still recognize him, obviously. But not like McDavid or any of those guys right now. But
every so often,
you know, they kind of miss that a little bit.
Everybody's got an ego.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got an ego and it's all good. I mean, you or I, are you Mikey? Like if somebody pats you on the back and say you've done a good job, that's your ego.
My dad makes a pretty strong point not to do that to me. He's more of a tough love kind of guy.
We've had a little talk about that anyway. So yeah, there's a reason for that.
Well, there's another funny story coming out of the All-Star game in New Orleans.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So we're staying in the hotel where all the players are. And they had
not New Orleans. This was Nashville.
Nashville.
Oh yeah.
Going across the street to the rink. It was right across the street, and they had probably a walkway for the players.
We were leaving Tootsies from the rooftop, getting to the arena.
So we're going across to the out of the hotel, down the walkway from the hotel, which they protect, and the fans on both sides of the railing. And as we come out at night, and Mikey is a 6 foot what and
two
tall ish, tall. Yeah. You know, well-built guy. So he's thinking, I wonder if any, and he said to me, he says, I wonder if anybody will think I'm a hockey player. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. A little bit of context. Okay. It's not like we're everywhere the players go, we're going. Cause we're part of the crew essentially. It's not, we're not just walking into the arenas. We're walking through the red carpets with the players. And I'm like, you know, I wonder if, and my dad's kind of, you know, giving me some jabs. I'm like, you know, at this point I'm probably 25, 26. I'm like, you know, give it to me.
I actually thought that he probably would, because a lot of the kids don't, they just, he looks like, he's dressed like a hockey player. He's built like a hockey player. He looks like a hockey player. So we start walking out. We get about 20 yards outside of the hotel. And he's looking around to see if anybody with the autograph book comes up to him. And all of a sudden, these two kids come running up and they go, Brian,
I love it.
Can I have your autograph? And I'm looking, what are you talking about? Well, you own Frameworth, don't you?
So he was, I've never seen a guy so deflated in my life.
Yeah, it happens. I thought maybe, you know, you see the kids running up and I'm like, you know, this is my chance. This is my brush with fame. But I like that you bring up Paul Coffey's situation, because I think it's important that we sort of reiterate that this is not, you know, when we talk about athletes getting frustrated or the need to be a buffer, it's not because the athletes don't like the fans. And it's not because necessarily the fans are always in the wrong. It's just that the volume at which they have to deal with these fan interactions can become a little bit cumbersome. Whereas, you know, when you have someone like Paul Coffey, who's not dealing with it every day, like you said, it kind of becomes a bit more of a novelty. And I want to use that to sort of ask you, how many of these interactions that you get involved with are coming from the position of malice, as opposed to just misunderstanding how the proper way of communicating with an athlete might be?
This kid's pretty smart. Knows some big words.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to figure out what he just asked you.
Like I said to you before, I punched out people for a living. I'm not very good on economics and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
I've avoided getting punched out by using big words. That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, what happens, and a lot has to do with the social media, obviously. You know, the fact that you're having more people come out to events. You're having more of these stars recognized. You know, don't forget now, they're wearing a helmet and a visor.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of changed the look of a lot of players.
But now you have someone like Mitch Marner, who streams on Twitch all the time. Now his face is so much more recognizable than...
So it's going to be more recognizable for the general public to where any he goes. I mean, Mitch is a superstar too.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but I get... it's funny. I used to, like, Naz Kadri, when Naz was here, you know, he kind of liked the limelight in that time. You know, he was great with that way. He's so good with people.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so good with people. And I think that's his upbringing from his father and all that, you know. But, you know, he goes to Colorado and he's walking down the middle of the main street there and not one person's recognizing him, you know. So in a way he's saying, well, this is great. I got my wife and my kid. We're walking down. No one's bugging us. But it's like, oh man, no one knows me anymore.
Yeah.
There goes my free dinners at restaurants and all that.
There was,
I don't know anybody.
We did a signing or hosted a signing with Taylor Hall when he first moved to New Jersey from Edmonton. And that was, and I remember sitting with him and him say, it was in a mall. And, you know, there were people coming steadily, but he turned to me at one point and he said, like, if this were in Edmonton, there'd be people up on there. And this isn't to disparage the fans of New Jersey, but
well,
it's just
it
to
is because they're not much of a fan. No.
There are these markets. Yeah.
We don't broadcast in New Jersey, do we?
time. All right. So we'll take a break and we'll see you guys on the other side. Okay. And we are back from our break. Thanks for joining us. Hope you grab some snacks. I feel like we should have one of those theme songs like, let's go out to the movies, you know, go grab some snacks or something like that. I'll work on it. Not yet. I want to move us sort of more to some specifics. I mean, we've been talking sort of generally about this world and how to interact. But before we do get into maybe some specific stories that we can dig deep into, do you have any suggestions out there for fans who want to make sure that they're doing it the right way and maybe just don't know how to best approach the situation? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people who, you know, are taking photos and maybe it doesn't even register that it's an awkward thing to take 16 photos. Do you have any suggestions?
Or autographs
like that?
Or whatever.
Anything like that.
It's real simple. It's real simple. Just be polite.
Yeah, fair.
If you're polite, if people come up to me and say, you know, excuse me, you know, a lot of them know me by name, obviously, you know, that's like with your... going down the red carpet there. And mm-hmm. I'll walk into a restaurant and people go, I can hear them. It's Rock. I wonder who he's with tonight.
Oh,
you know, cool. And I may not be. Yeah. I mean, just going out for dinner. I mean, I was at Harbor 60 last week, the same thing. I could hear somebody on the side of there. It's Rock. I wonder who he's with tonight. Doesn't know everybody's on a lockdown. but So, you know, if people come up to me and they would say, hey, you know, I'd hate to bother you, but my son is like, everybody's a big fan, right? Yeah. Everybody's like, he's the biggest fan.
I used to love
I used to love going to concerts, you know, and they want to meet a band afterwards or a member of a band afterwards, you know, and then they would get introduced at a meet and greet. And the guy's got his 1 month old son on his arm type thing. And my son knows every word to every one of your songs. You know? Really? But, you know, so people would come up to me and if, you know, and they're not bothersome and they're real polite and they say, excuse me and things like that. And I said, I wonder if I can get a picture with, you know, with Nathan MacKinnon or, you know, And I would say, yeah, just hang on, bud. I'll see what I can do. And then I'll go to somebody like Nate.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say to them, hey, I got a really good, cool kid over here. He's a polite kid. You know, he's a little timid and all that sort of stuff. And 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 out of 10 times. Yep. You know, if I've kind of like pre-approved
right.
the person, the player's going to sign for
awesome. Right.
You know? And so I would, that would be the biggest suggestion. Don't put the camera in their face.
Yeah, yeah. And you hope it's okay. This is not an act first, ask for forgiveness later.
And another thing, and another thing too, that is really key. If I'm walking out of a restaurant or a bar with a player, don't rush up to the player. I've already known that you want your picture taken with him. If you rush, they'll get spooked.
Right.
They don't know.
Right.
True. They don't know if that's what's in the, I mean, I had an incident one time. I was looking after a rock star and he had a gold chain around his neck. You know, big, thick gold chain. So we go out towards the car, and this girl was looked like she was going to come up for an autograph. And all of a sudden, she grabbed the gold chain, ripped Whoa. It right off of him, and ran. And she was gone, boogied out that door.
Wow.
And that was her whole key. She had obviously saw him and saw that gold chain around his neck. And I'm not kidding. This girl was the best thief I've ever saw. You know,
right.
She went up to him and just grabbed the gold chain, ripped it off his neck and ran.
I think the best thieves are the ones you didn't see. I mean, that is strategy.
You know, she was good though. She had balls, man. You know,
as you talk about that, here's a little technical piece of advice. Get your camera ready.
Yeah. Oh,
there's fair. A comedian yeah. I saw on Netflix the other day that was joking about that. It was like, take a photo. If the camera's not ready. Hang on. The flash isn't on.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
worst
yeah, yeah,
thing
yeah,
you can
yeah.
do for a player while he's trying to kind of move through a crowd or get out of a place is make him stand there for 5 minutes while you're adjusting your camera.
Yeah, yeah. Fair.
Now everybody else is gathering
well,
around.
Well, the thing is too, Brian, on that, they get nervous.
Yes.
People get nervous and they start fumbling yes. with the camera and
you
stuff
see their
like
hands
that.
Shaking.
I was out yeah, with yeah. Paul McCartney's bodyguard one night. Him and I had dinner. And he was saying for that reason alone, Paul doesn't take pictures anymore with anybody.
I've heard that.
What he'd rather do, he'd rather stand and talk to you for 10 minutes about you know where you're from and things like that, because he thinks having a photo is not
as personal.
You know, it's not as personal,
right?
It's not a memory,
right?
You know, you got a memory on your phone of a picture with this guy, but the better memory is sitting there and talking to Paul McCartney for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But the problem is everybody wants to prove they did that, and there's no way to do
that's
that.
Where the photo comes from.
Right. Yeah. Well, I climbed Mount Everest. Eh? You know that, right?
Yeah, but you just didn't take
it. Wasn't
any
cameras back then, but I tell everybody, you know.
There you go, right there. You
know? I'm afraid of heights, but don't tell anybody.
I'd love to get into a little bit, just because I'm curious, you know, we talk a lot about the business of sports and the back end of things here. You mentioned you started in the music industry and then you shifted more towards sports. But what did that look like for you? You know, who were your first clients? How did you get involved with them specifically?
Like I said, I used to do concerts in Toronto a lot. And I met a buddy of mine by the name of Gil Gamboa, him and I are very, very good friends right now. And he was working for Tim McGraw at the time. And Tim McGraw had the wife and the kids on the road with him and all stuff. And they had a compound outside of the Scotiabank Arena. And I got talking to Gil and he said, hey, can you do me a favor tomorrow? Can you check with your bosses and all that? I need somebody to watch the compound because the kids are on there, you know? And I'm like, sure, I can do that, you know? So that's basically what I did. And then from there, he had asked me, hey, you know, I do this. Do you want to come out on the road with me? And like, I'm single and you know, I can go in a drop of the hat. Just let me go home and get my passport and I'm out of here. You know, I don't think I got a criminal record, so I can get to the border. But, we'll check it out anyways.
Background checks on all our guests.
I went on, you know, and helped him out with Tim McGraw. Well, then all of a sudden, he gave me a call and said he was working for Bruce Springsteen. So he asked me to come out and give him a hand, you know, on Bruce's tour and all that. So that's how I got a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of work this too. Was I would get a call from a band's management saying, hey, Rocket, are you around this weekend? And I would say, like, yeah. And they would be like, wow, my stupid security guy got an impaired charge and he can't get in your country.
Oh, no.
You know, and I'm stuck here at the border and I'm going to need security for something. So I got a lot of work, you know, from that.
From the border.
But if I had to pick, though, I maybe because it's I'm a Canadian thing and stuff like that, but the hockey guys are a lot more easier to...
You know what?
Deal with,
I've said this many times. Hockey players, and I've dealt with a lot of different athletes, and I'm not disparaging any other league. Hockey players, I think because of the way they were raised with the family orientation and the parents waking up at 6 in the morning and treating them, teaching them how to behave and all that, are the best athletes to deal with, bar none. And I'll say that. And I don't think I have an athlete that I work with that I can really put down as, yeah, that guy's not much of a,
right.
It doesn't have much character.
It's They're all class guys. It's funny, Ron. You'll have other athletes. I've had basketball players and rock stars that want to meet hockey players.
Oh, nice.
You know,
are rock stars, are hockey players the rock stars of the sports world? It feels like it's kind of like that.
My buddy was the head security guy, Ricky Wellington with the hip.
Oh yeah.
And so I went on a lot of, you know, a lot of tours with him, helping him out with, and then I got, obviously got, but obviously we know that Gordy was a huge, huge hockey fan.
Right.
You know, so if we had anybody, you know, from Todd Bertuzzi to, you know, Joe Thornton's parents, I mean, any hockey guys that came out, you know, I would go right to, you know, Gord and say, hey, you know, who's here tonight? They want to go. And he would be like, bring them in.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, bring them in all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if that happens now. I know the a lot of the guys are really close with the guys in the Arkells.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Max
and
the Arkells are just great guys. And
they seem like a good
Yeah, they're really hockey friendly. Darnell Nurse is a real good buddy of theirs. And you know, Nursey's one of the best guys you'll ever want to meet, too.
Yeah.
He's in his family. And
worked with him for many years.
Yeah, he you know what I mean? So Max from the Arkells, really. And then Halsey's a good friend. And now the older generation, so Koff got wind of all this now. So you obviously Koff sniffing around backstage now.
Koff the Arkells, obviously. Paul Coffey.
But all the rock stars like hockey players. You know what I mean? It's the old saying, a hockey star wants to be a rock star, and a rock star wants to be a hockey player.
Right.
You know? I remember Sam Roberts was close to hockey players, too. So a lot of those guys, you know, a lot of the players want to go, you know, they obviously want to see the band itself.
And, for sure.
You know, and their girlfriends put on the good side of them.
Well, and Matt Duchesne was, well, he even appeared in Nashville. Remember, he was on stage. He's a big country and Western fan.
I felt, and it's funny how that works, too, when I'm talking about their friends and their families. I remember Halsey and I were at a show one night, and he had a bunch of his friends with him. And it was Luke Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I put it together that he could meet Luke Bryan, you know? So I went back out to him, and this is the classy this kid is, you know. I said, hey, Halsey, I got you all set up for you and Rachel, your girlfriend. You can go meet, Luke Bryan. And he's like, well, what about my buddies? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I can ask the tour. And he goes, I wouldn't feel comfortable, Rocket, not going with my buddies and all that too, nice. You know. And Connor's like that too.
Yeah.
McDavid's like that too. He wants to include all his friends. And that's another thing about these hockey players that the general public doesn't know. They're so good with their friends.
Right.
And their friends are like, you know, just A1 with people, you know. Mitch Marner's buddies are all, like, I've become friends with them all now. You know, we don't even talk about Mitch anymore.
Right.
They're always calling me for something.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Or they're like a friend. So it's just the classness when you want to put music and, yeah, hockey players like and all that connection. Together. Yeah.
And you've been involved in both. Now you've mentioned a lot of names too. Is there a roster of athletes you represent, or is it more just whomever's in?
Yeah, I look after I'm up to about 36 players that I look after now. You know?
Mentioned Taylor Hall, Mitch Marner.
I got Halsey, and I got Kadri and Nate McKinnon, and I got some guys in Ottawa, Connor Brown and Chris Turney, and then I got guys in Arizona. I got Clayton Keller and Jacob Chikrin. So it kind of like varies all around.
And are you flying out to see them, or are
a
you
a lot of times I do
more?
Because what I want to do is I go to the city, you know, that they're in.
Right.
And then I scout out the city. So if they want to go to restaurants, so I go into the local, like a restaurant that they've probably told me about, you know, hey, the players go here afterwards.
Right.
So I'll go talk to the owner of the restaurant and I'll say, hey, my name's Rocket. This is what I do. You know, would it be, I got my players like to come in here for dinner, you know, a lot. But you're probably packed. Can I get your phone number? And that's the way we do it,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I'll go to the player. They'll say, where are we going to eat tonight, Rock? And I say, I got a spot for you.
Oh,
you
nice. Right.
So, yeah, before the world when it was normal, I would be out on the road quite a bit.
Now
I go see the guys in Calgary a lot because I got Sammy Bennett out there and Matthew Tkachuk. I got the Tkachuk brothers, which are great kids.
But there's only one of you. How do they fight over getting you in? I mean, you can only be in one place at one time, right?
Yeah. Well, I go by goals and assists, I guess. I
don't know. That's awesome.
Or single or married, you know. single guys gotta come with me. Yeah, well, I have to. Well, just so I can get some scraps now and then myself.
So yeah, I was just, that's another angle that I hadn't really thought about. But yeah, it'd be a little more fun going out with the single guys.
For yeah, sure. Like, you know, I mean, it's funny because I'm out with these guys till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Ooh. Even they go.
Right. I'm in bed at 10:30.
Of course, not during the season. Of course,
not during the season. I only got a day off. Is that counting non-season?
Day off. Yeah, I guess.
But that's another thing that's really changed too, though. To be honest with you, in this business, is the guys aren't going out as much. You know, obviously not throughout the season.
Right. Right.
Like they're very,
is that because they'll get recognized for having been
out? No, it's more of this job, I guess, getting really, really competitive now than it ever been. You know, and everybody has to have that edge. I mean, there's more psychologists involved now. There are more trainers that are involved now. So, and you play a lot.
You can't come to the rink with a hangover.
You can't.
If you start doing that, you get noticed. And there's some, I mean, get with the alumni guys from my era.
Oh, yeah.
Where you talk about Bob Nevin coming onto the ice just still hammered from the night before and the guys kind of skating on each side during the practice to keep him in line.
Oh,
I got a good story about
that. Go ahead.
I can't name the player.
Which is why I'd love to with the time we have.
I was at a morning skate one morning. I was at a morning skate and one of the players had come in late. Okay. So anyways, teams going through their drills and all that sort of stuff. So he tries to sneak on the ice. So he goes down to the far end when they're working on a power play. The head coach is in the far end. So I'm sitting there watching. All of a sudden, the whistle blows.
Uh-oh.
And the coach yells, "Get off the ice. Just get off the fucking ice right now. Go. Just go on home."
Oh.
Blair knew exactly who he was talking to and just
got back. Oh, no.
And I looked over at the player, and he's sweating so much, and the booze is coming out of him from the night before.
Oh, man.
But that doesn't, these guys, they're just so weary of their bodies. And the thing is, they just don't have time.
Right.
You know, you play and practice and play and practice, you know, 82 game schedule and stuff like that. Then it takes a toll on their body. So these guys, and then another thing is too, it's just, you know, especially for the guys in Toronto, obviously, or the guys in Montreal, you know, it's really tough for them to go out because it's just, they get noticed.
Know them everywhere they go. Much, for sure. Know?
I mean, I've had Max Domi since he was a kid.
Right.
You know, and he just lived in the eyes of his father and stuff like that. So it's funny when those two go out and I'm with them, it's just like, you know, they just get swarmed. Well,
but Ty doesn't like the attention.
Ty hates the attention. But I'm telling you, he's such a rock star in this city still.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll see him. He'll be, you know, we were out one day, him and I, and he was putting gas in his car. We're just standing near the car. And guys were going down Jarvis. I think we were in Jarvis or something. And guys stop in the middle of the road, you know, and just yell, "Ty, Ty."
Hey, there you go.
You know? Or if he's crossing the street, I mean, he is still a rock star in the city. You still go to games now and see his jersey.
So I've got a question because, I mean, obviously we talked about dealing with enforcers and being the security for enforcers in the past. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, you want to be as great as you can to your clients. You know, you want some repeat business. You got a good reputation. Has there ever been a case where you had a run in with one of your players?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They never want to leave.
They don't want to leave.
They never want to. I had a situation in the summertime, and here's the worst part of my job. Anyways, the guy got in the truck and said, "You're fired, Rocket. You're fired." You know. But anyways, we were at a club one night, and it was time to go. You know, these guys had a full, you know, they were all filled up, and it's time to go, you know? So the worst thing is one guy trying to get two guys out of a club.
Right.
Okay? That's the worst, because you get one of them outside. Where's the other one? Oh, he's still inside. Okay, you stay here.
It's whack-a-mole.
I'm going in to go get him.
Right.
You know? So I'll go in to get him. I'll come up. The other guy's gone back in or something. You know? So anyways, there was a bit of a confrontation in front of this club. I won't get into any details or anything. So I turned around to the player. The player's going, "I got to go fucking fight that guy right now." I said, "No, you're not. You're not going to go fight him. Just fucking sit back." He goes, "Oh, fuck you, Rocket. I want a piece of that guy right now. I said, "Listen, you got to remember where you are right now. You got to remember where you are. These guys will shoot you down here. Now. They don't care if you're a hockey player. You're just some guy just fucking mouthing off. You know, that's all you are." So again, I finally get them back in the truck. And he goes, "Why didn't you let me go at him?" I said, "But," and he's going on. He goes, "By the way, you're fucking fired. I don't have you anymore."
Awkward conversation the next
girlfriend
morning.
Girlfriend calls me the next morning. "What did that asshole do, Rocket, last night?" Now, and I always say, not nothing. It's all, you know.
Did you get unfired or you?
I got unfired. Yeah. I got the big apology and I said, stop.
Yeah.
You don't have to. But no, because like a lot of the guys are so respectful of the fact that they know that I'm looking out for them.
Sure.
Of course. Their best interest. So it's even with rock stars. Rock stars can be assholes to people, let's say, but they're always good to me.
Yep.
Because and number one, I don't want anything from them.
Right.
You know, a lot of my hockey players, I'll ask, will I get them to sign something? Absolutely. You know, because if I get some hockey teams like the Marlies and like Midgets and all that sort of stuff, they want to raise money. Mm-hmm. So one of the best ones was Austin. I always ask Austin to sign, you know, me five or six things before the beginning of the year all the time, just so those teams can raise some money.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the guys know it, that I'm only out there to protect them, look after them and organize them.
Right.
And all that sort of stuff too, which really works. So do they get mad at me? Yeah, once in a while they'll get mad at me. I had an incident one night where at the concert was over. The concert was over, and this guy was trying to wheel this, you know, girl out of there. He's a single guy, and I'm saying,
and that's why you were out with him.
I got like 15 other people. We gotta go, you know. He goes, just wait. I go, dude, she doesn't want you anyways. Trust me, I know she doesn't. He goes, yeah, I'll show you. From this day forward, every time I run into him, I said, you know, I picked up that broad that night. You know,
I'd love to hear we're running a little low on time, but I want to hear to take us out. Do you have a story you can give us that kind of sums up a day in the life, an eventful day in the life?
This well, is I your can, I can tell you one of the coolest stories I can, and I can say names on this too.
Sounds good.
I did a
podcast with two handsome gentlemen named Mikey and Brian.
Yeah, that I'm still negotiating my paycheck for it, but we'll figure that out. But here's one of my coolest stories, and I think people like really hearing cool stories instead of like some drunk guy. I'd pick up off the sidewalk, you know. Paul McCartney's band had played in Toronto, and the very next day they were doing a private show at the Roy Thompson Hall. And it was for the Lexus dealers all over North America.
Right.
So there's only 300 of them coming in. So anyways, it's a full show with Paul McCartney. And I'm like side stage. I'm right on the side stage. I don't have a worry in the world, realistically, because nobody wants to jump on the stage to Paul McCartney.
Right.
He's just too much respect. And we're talking to older people.
Yep.
So near the end of the night, he comes out with his acoustic guitar by himself and sits on the edge of the stage with his feet hanging over. And he played the song Yesterday. The women were all in tears. You could hear a pin drop as you could hear him singing and women crying in the background.
Wow.
You know, they're seeing a legend.
Wow. Right.
You know, they're seeing like this is one of the gods.
I've got some goosebumps. I could imagine.
Yeah, it was like really, and I've seen them all. And I've pretty well talked to a lot of entertainers and stuff like that. You know, some of the guys I've been on tour with for 13 years.
Right.
You know, and I've seen a lot. But the emotion that night was, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
That's something I'll never, ever forget. They, you know, the women are crying in the front row.
Yeah.
Then I had Paul's wife yell at me the night because they wrote a wine.
So that's why she was crying.
And I don't even drink. Yeah. You know, I don't drink. I didn't take it. Where's my wine rocket? Where is it?
Oh, that's fantastic. Real quick, you've dealt with some players back in the earlier days of hockey and some modern day players. What's the main difference when you're working with someone who's, you know, fresh in the league right now in the year 2020 or someone who was playing back in the early 2000s?
There's really no difference.
Right.
You know, hockey player is a hockey player, whether he was played in the 60s or whether he's playing now. You know, the respect that they have for guys like me is beyond all means.
Sure.
You know, but I have to be honest with them too. You know, they have to trust me. But the only difference that I can really see is obviously the exposure to the fan now.
Yeah.
Is a lot more, is it fan friendly? I don't know if you call it fan friendly, but I mean,
fan accessible.
Yeah. Like we can go to a you know, for dinner and back in the days of Ty and Matt's and all those guys, and there'll only be, you know, 30 people in the restaurant. Now there's 300.
Yeah.
There's 300 people around. The places are bigger.
Right.
The nightclubs are bigger. You know, the actual population, the game itself is bigger, obviously.
Right.
I mean, I can just go on it because I never played the game before. Like I never played pro before. What the guys tell me.
Right.
And they always say, what does it do? Well, it's game's faster and it's tougher or something like that. But for me, on my end, for what your question is, there's more people.
Fair.
Yeah. So when I take somebody out of a club now, now I've got like 40 or 50 people out in front of the place.
As opposed to 10 or 15.
Whereas before, you would just walk out and get
one little tweet and everybody knows that they're there. It's amazing when you go to the Ritz or one of the hotels that the players stay in.
Yeah, well, you know it, Brian.
And with sometimes players come into town, Gretz will come into town and nobody knows he's coming in. And within 20 minutes of him checking, there's a whole roped off area out front that they have to stand behind. And they're there in 20 minutes. So they know.
That's when you go get a laundry bin.
You know what? That's great. That's a great recap and bringing it all full circle. Rocket, thank you so much for joining us. This was a fantastic conversation. I know our fans are going to be asking to have more of you, and I hope you'll join us again in a future episode.
Definitely. We want you back. There's 100 more stories that have yet. I know.
Aaron Ferris is my agent, so I'll get him to negotiate a little bit. There you go.
I'd love to.
I don't need any signatures. I'm good.
In the future episodes, we'll get into some more specific stories. But until then, once again, thanks so much for joining us. For Brian Aaronworth, president of Frameworth, and myself, Mikey Aaronworth. We will see you guys next week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we made it to the end of yet another episode. Thanks again so much for joining us. You can find videos of all of our episodes on YouTube by searching the Sign Off Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frameworth Sport or Instagram at Frameworth Sports. And hey, if you're not sick of me yet, you can find me on Twitter over at Retrograde Mikey, or you can always find me embarrassing myself over on Instagram at Aaronworth. The Sign Off is a proud product of Fadoo Productions and Sad Styles Productions, executive producers Mikey Aaronworth and Andrew Bascom. Until next week, this is Mikey Aaronworth signing off.
Furnished by Sad Styles Productions.
Get into it.